Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
What would the many missing and murdered Indigenous persons tell us if their voices could be heard? Hello, Mataki Api, and welcome to Hochoka, here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster.
And I am Holt McCloskey. Scott and I are today's Hochoka Podcast hosts.
Today, we visit again with Lily Mendoza, cherished Lakota Unchi and founder of the Red Ribbon Skirt Society, a grassroots collective dedicated to confronting the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women, children, Two-Spirit, and transgender people.
Lily joins us today to focus on what Indigenous families need to know to create a preventative environment against the problem that has robbed our culture of so many of her sisters. Welcome to Hochoka, Lily.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome to Hochoka, Lily. So I am a father to actually four Indigenous women. One is 15 right now, and the others are all right around 30. But I also have five Takoja, right, who are Indigenous women. What would you say to me or to my daughters about raising their own daughters so that they are more aware and have strength against any factors that might contribute to making those kids be more vulnerable at whatever age they are? Many of our listeners are parents of students and would want that same advice. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that we do within the society is we work with young people. And we have a small society up in Minneapolis, and we've been working with those girls for, you know, like 6-7 years now. And we started working with them when they were like 12, mm-hmm. 13. Mm-hmm. And so now they are speaking to the issue now, mm-hmm. okay? And so really, if for us and for myself, I mean, I have granddaughters, I have, you know, grandchildren, all of those things. And just, I think for me, I can only speak from my experience and mm-hmm. what I'm doing within my own family, and hopefully families can take from that. I know that some of the things that we do is, and those girls do, is they look at self-defense. Mm-hmm. You know, what can we do for self-defense training? And so the group that they're with, they make sure that happens. Also, just looking at awareness, you know, and giving them those tools, especially in the cities, you know, that they're not walking by themselves, that they're paying attention to what's going on. And I know there's an app right now on phones. I think it's called 360. Mm-hmm. And so actually, if you have that app, you can see where, you know, your daughter, son, whoever it is, you can track them. Okay. And I know that's been really, really helpful when somebody has gone missing. They start looking at their phone to pin them and figure out where they're at mm-hmm. and what's going on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's those sorts of things to educate and share with your children. You know, and the other thing is that I've kind of found is continue to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really, really important. And, you know, we're putting on this big Regis Gala on May 5th, and so we have a young woman coming in. And so those women actually are role models within their schools, and so they're talking to their friends, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And they're also talking to the boys, the young men, and say, you know, take care of us, you know? You need to look at taking care of us. And when I go out and speak to schools, I just got done speaking at American Horse School, any of those groups, we did the whole school. When they came in, I would say at the end, you boys need to take care of these girls. You need to take care of the little ones. So if they're out playing and they're by themselves, you know, anybody could drive by there where the school's at, you know. And, you know, entice them with candy, you know, and those sorts of things. You need to watch out for your relatives. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're related or not. Mm-hmm. You need to do that. You need to remember to do that. I think they have to be reminded of that quite mm-hmm. often. Mm-hmm. I mean, even as adult women, making sure that, you know, you have your keys out when you're ready to get in your vehicle, stay off your phone when you're going to your vehicle. And so those are kinds of the tools that we really do talk about with our young girls to help them understand this is real and it could possibly happen to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Me mm-hmm. and my family have had this discussion repeatedly mainly because, you know, I went to a school, you know, 4 hours away from them in Sioux Falls, a sort of big city, you know. And there were instances where I had to walk alone at night, mainly because of my job. I got back late from studying, you know, and there was always that thing in the back of my mind, stay in well-lit areas, stay where the cameras can see me, and if I have headphones in, make sure I'm not playing any music, you know, because I don't want to be snuck up on. And even now at work, I have to go in at extremely difficult hours that are very late in the night, and let's just say there are scary things about, you know, like my walk to work sometimes. So even me, I have a heavy purse just in case I can swing it. I have a heavy water bottle just in case I can swing it. I have a taser on me just in case I need it. And I know better than to, I hop right into my car. Right. I don't look at anything. I shut it. I lock it. I look in the back seat and I make sure everything is good. You know, so a lot of this is instinctual, yes, but there was this one point where my sister would message me every night, did you make it home okay? You know, because it's just so instinctual and so ingrained into all of us as, like, women that something could happen to my sister and what if it's too late to know? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just horrifying that, you know, a lot of us have already just been dealing with it as just women, but to know as an Indigenous woman that the likeliness is so high, it just makes it a little bit more terrifying,
right,
in the aspects of the facts.
Yeah, and we have, I mean, we have one of our mothers who lost her daughter, and her sisters, you know, whenever they're traveling, they check in. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving it from here, I'll get, you know, and when they get to their destination, and they check in, you know, sort of thing. So that's, I mean, that's a huge part of it, is kind of helping, you know, working with each other and making sure that everybody knows where everybody's at. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a different world. Mm-hmm. A completely different world. Mm-hmm. You know, my little grandson, because I do this work, he's always listening, okay? I know that we had come to, actually it was a Chamberlain I was traveling through, and so we got a motel room. Mm-hmm. And I have a taser. Okay, I have a really big traditional knife. I was like, I don't know. So anyway, I forgot some things in the vehicle, so I said, okay, I'm going to go downstairs. So I'm going to, the door's going to be locked, and you know, you have your slide keys or whatever, and I said, I'll be back in a bit. So I went down, went to the vehicle, got my stuff, I came back up, and so I put my key in the door, and then the door opened, right? And I couldn't find him. Well, he hid. He hid in that room. And because I had told him, you know, because you just never know, you know, hotels. And so he goes, yeah, grab my head. He goes, I didn't know, just in case somebody broke in here. All right. So even at that age, you know, he was 8 at the time, okay, is to be careful and pay attention, you know. And that's, you know, that's another thing that we, you know, we talk about when we go into schools is, you know, scream and yell as much as you can. That never used to be the norm to do that. It seems like they were taught differently. Mm-hmm. But now it's, you just scream as much as you can. You know, it doesn't, you know, how loud or whatever, you just need to do that just in case. You know, the other thing is human trafficking is a huge part of MMIW. Mm-hmm. You know, in parking lots, you know, human traffickers are very sophisticated now. You know, and they have those high-tech vans that you can't hear anything if somebody's put into those vans. And so it's even being careful in parking lots when you're out shopping.
Yeah.
Because that quick, you know, they could grab a woman. And we know, just from the different stories out there, is that most of those high-tech human traffickers, they come into our state. They know what they're doing, you know, and so they'll come in. And they have it all planned out, how they're going to grab somebody, those sorts of things, too. So we make sure and provide education and awareness on that, because human trafficking is just hand-in-hand as far as MMIW.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lily, we named this episode If These Skirts Could Speak. As a young Lakota woman and as a sister, would you speak to all my sisters and me on behalf of missing and murdered Indigenous sisters?
Well, I like that question, if these, what is it, skirts could speak. I mean, just that, saying that, right? You know, what we do quite often is when we sit down and gather as society, we ourselves have to heal. And part of that healing is talking about it, too, you know. You know, one of the things that we talk about, and things that I go through too, and you know, other individuals, is like, I wonder how she felt. You know, mm-hmm. what was going through her mm-hmm. mind? Mm-hmm. What was going through her mind? And to put yourself in that spot at that time, kind of going through that, I think that probably at the time it happened to those girls, young women, they didn't know that it was going to happen, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Some of them may have been drugged up, mm-hmm. involved in drugs, or just snatched. we all remember them by talking about those in by name. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what Mariah probably went through. What did she go through, you know? And one of the things we all talk about is, like, we all have sufferings in our lives. And I know a lot of times when I do things that I'm suffering through, and that might be Sundance, or a group of myself and my kids, we go biking, we cycle, and pretty soon we're getting really tired, and it's really hard, and it's like, think about what those girls mm-hmm. went through. Mm-hmm. You know, what did they go through? Horrific things they went through, okay? And I think that probably to be mindful of that as young women. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking about awareness and education and those sorts of things, but to be thoughtful and think about that, you know, what did that young woman go through? And I think when you do that, then life isn't so hard.
Yeah.
You know, life isn't so hard, but also you need to figure out how you as an individual and as a woman, how you can make sure that's not going to happen, excuse me, to yourself and other women. You know, how are you going to make it so it doesn't happen? And that gets back to education and awareness, mm-hmm. that, you know. And, you know, we do this on a regular basis, and in my mind I do it quite often, you know. You know, what did that girl knew what was going to happen to her when she got thrown in the trunk? No. Okay. Did she think that when they let her in the front seat that everything was going to be okay? No. Mm-hmm. No, they shot her in the head, and she was gone. Mm-hmm. You know, those things can happen. Mm-hmm. So as young women, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go out for the evening, take care of yourself. I had a couple of girls, one of my granddaughters went down to Florida for a concert. I was so nervous, mm-hmm. you know, because they're beautiful girls out in the big city in Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent them a message. I said, hey, you girls, be careful down there. And they're like, yeah, Grandma, we know. Because they had enough awareness and education to know that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think that any opportunity that we get, that even if it's sitting down to have dinner, let's talk about a topic this evening, you know. And that could be the topic. And like you said, 15-year-olds, like, I don't, you know, kind mm-hmm. of thing. But you know what? I think that the question I pose to a lot of the young people when I'm out there speaking, I will say to them, does anybody have an MMIW in your family? Nobody raises their hand, but I know they have,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't want to talk about it because it's hard to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's important for us as adults to continue to talk about it. Because it could happen to them. I did a talk in Minneapolis at a private school. And while I'm out there speaking, they're just messing around. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know. Well, then I kind of brought it home to them, you know. I said, do you all remember, her name was Amy, that was out golfing on the golf course. And I said, there was a homeless person in the trees, right? And so he called her over. And so she went over there, I said, and then she was gone and they found her murdered. So they related to that because they were in a private school, they golfed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could afford to do those sorts of things, mm-hmm. right? And it was a non-native, okay? So I brought it home to them and they were all like, yeah, that could happen to us. They had absolutely no idea that it was happening in Minneapolis at all,
mm-hmm.
because why would they?
Right, exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So it's really kind of bringing it home. Same thing happens when I speak to non-native, like in libraries, churches,
mm-hmm.
okay? I have to bring it home to them and
right.
remind them, that could be your granddaughter, you know? That could be your daughter who's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to kind of remember that in order to get them to realize this is happening in Indian country to our women,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so you kind of have it to bring it back home for them to have a better understanding of that.
So I've been a staff member here at St. Joe's for 30 years now and work with a lot of people. And on the good days, we consider ourselves to be Teochpe, caring for these children together and doing what we do. And for our staff, for our direct care staff, is there anything different that you'd tell them at a residential school than what we've already shared for parents? Or
all right. You know, I think that part of that, when you go into any place, you need to think about how it's going to trigger individuals.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do believe, and not that we're we're going to solve all the problems, or there aren't any other groups out there, but when we do these sorts of things, is that training,
mm-hmm.
you know, to provide for the teachers and those sorts of things, how to approach that, you know, mm-hmm. how to approach that, because probably within that sea of Native American boys and girls, they live through that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
May not, and it probably led up to an MMIW, but they have lived through that, whatever that is, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if we're talking about runaways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's one of the things that we're concerned about, is that these kids are running, especially the girls, they're running from that home for a reason. Okay. Now, when they're running, they could get snatched up and they could be human trafficked. They could become an MMIW and they don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one of the things that we want to be able to do is work with the families. What's going on there? You know, what is going on there? So even if you have students here and they're running, they're taking off. It's not necessarily from here, but it's from something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure, I think we need to make sure that staff are ready to be mindful of things targeting those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was down at the other school, just this past week or last week, you know, I just made sure and talked to those kids before. I said, now, what I'm going to talk to you about, I said, you all know this, right? And they mm-hmm. said, yeah. Okay. I said, now, you have your teachers here? So that when we're done today, go and visit with them about it. Don't feel like you're alone in this,
yeah.
you know? And I said, I can visit with you too, you know? One of the little boys, because we made a red dress exhibit, which is really, really very, very awesome, he was putting up his little tag on a dress, and he said, my mom's missing. She's been missing for a long time, you know? Now, has he shared that with anybody? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just made sure and gave him a hug and went to his classroom teacher and said, this is what's going on. And I said, I'm just letting you know, because he might want to visit with you about this,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, kind of thing. So I think you have to have those safety nets in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Native kids are tough, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're tough kids. They've gone through a lot because of colonization,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those sorts of things. So, and they don't even know it. They
right,
don't
exactly.
even know it.
Yep.
And naming it is a huge part of naming it. That's a big part of the movement, is you have to name it. And we're running into that with suicides.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten calls on suicide. I say, well, how come nobody's paying attention to this? But they're paying attention to MMIW. Okay? What do we call this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've thinking about that, what do they call that? So to make families feel, this is what this is besides suicide. It's kind of confusing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk, well, they're missing. What are they missing? There's something missing inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that those families, that we're there for those families as well, to help them through that grieving process. And because you know what? For the most part, it's not those kids' fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they become missing inside, they're lost, and then suicide. So we've had some deep conversations about that too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Very, very difficult subject, hard to talk about, but it's also something that needs to be talked about. And you're doing that, which is great. So once again, we're thankful to have you here at Ho-Choka. And Hope, again, it's good to have you here, too. And for all our viewers, we thank you once again for being here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian Schools campus in Ho-Choka, where we talk about issues that are central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.